This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Can you feel the energy? Can you feel the energy in the room? Because I can. I tell you what, I can. And what I can also sense is a defining week in the history, or a defining couple of weeks, I should say, in the history of Real Madrid. At least Real Madrid for this season. This season's history, we'll say. Because, of course, they are looking forward to the knockout stages in the Champions League with victory over Club Brugge, finishing off the campaign during the week. Then it is Valencia on Sunday. And then on Wednesday, it's the big one, El Clásico. Real Madrid travelling to the Camp Nou as the two titans of La Liga go head-to-head in that rescheduled clash, of course. Supposed to be played earlier on the season, but rescheduled for Wednesday, the 18th of December. Matt Wiltsey is on the line from Managing Madrid. This is the Real Madrid Fan Show. Hello, Matt.
Hello. It's good to be here, guys. And I'm really enjoying the Ala Madrid y Nada Más anthem start. I'm revved up now.
That's it, man. That's what I said. You're really feeling punt. You're feeling the energy in the room. And two players in particular who were feeling the energy in midweek, Rodrigo and Vinicius. Great to see the pair of them on the score sheet against Club Brugge.
It is. I mean, an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, two Brazilian wonder kids, both on the score sheet. And we know how often Vinicius has been criticized for his lack of goal scoring. And he actually compared himself after the game to a young Raheem Sterling, another young Englishman who struggled to score goals early in his career at Liverpool and obviously has since turned the corner at Man City under Pep Guardiola. And so I think that's a good mirror to look in for Vinicius. I think if he can kind of continue to develop that game, we forget how young he is sometimes. He's still only 19 years old. So if he can just continue to hone that skill set, improve his finishing, he'll be a just absolute rock star.
In terms of the Champions League, I know we've got a couple of fixtures to look ahead to, so we won't dwell on it too much, but knockout stages, what are you looking at? Who are you hoping for?
Well, Madrid, I mean, they have quite the list of potential candidates. There's really not too many great draws, but I think one would be Red Bull. We'd look to take, that would probably be the easiest pick of the bunch. Aside from that, it's honestly every single draw is difficult. I think I wouldn't hate Juventus, honestly. It would be an interesting matchup to have Ronaldo back at the Bernabeu. And I feel like they haven't clicked fully yet under Sarri. So I think it would be a good time to play them. And then the other one, maybe City. I mean, they're not as strong as they were last year.
They're not. I mean, interesting you say Juventus there. Would you be happy to see Ronaldo back at the Bernabeu? I mean, that's a clash that, I mean, you'd like to see him playing against Real Madrid?
I mean, it would be so strange. I mean, even to this day, I mean, I have people come up to me and be like, who don't always watch Real Madrid, and they say, man, it's just weird. I'm always expecting Ronaldo to be that number seven on the flank there for Real Madrid. He's just not there anymore. And it is weird. You just expect him to always be playing for Real Madrid and to see him on the other side, to see him playing for Juventus, it would be very, very strange. But at the same point, I think Ronaldo is the best player in Real Madrid's history over Alfredo Di Stefano. But at the end of the day, I want Real Madrid to progress through the Champions League, and I think one of their best chances would be through Juventus, even though they do have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that in terms of Ronaldo being the greatest player in history, mate. Just after Brian Robson of Manchester United. He comes first, then it's Ronaldo, and then it's Lionel Messi. Just in my humble opinion. Another player to mention there, Luka Jovic. Again, still just the one goal this season. He played against Club Brugge, and I think the key quotes to take after the game from Zidane were that, you know, he was very defensive of Jovic, said that he had a good game, said that he didn't feel lost, said that he was thoroughly involved despite the criticism. Again, hauled off around the 75-minute mark.
Yeah, I mean, Jovic has been, let's be honest here, he's been underwhelming, at least from a fan's perspective, I'm sure from the coaching staff. We expected him to already be bagging a ton of goals. And we say all this understanding that he's a 21-year-old, but he was a 21-year-old last year who was just unstoppable with Frankfurt. And it's obviously going to take some time to adapt to Madrid. What I like from what I've heard about Jovic and what he said in the press and what Zidane has said in the press is, one, Jovic just has a phenomenal attitude. Two, he came out earlier a week or two ago and said that it was Zidane who insisted on his signing. And so it wasn't the Real Madrid sport. It wasn't Jose Angel Sanchez. It wasn't just the Real Madrid backroom staff. It was Zidane who insisted on his signing. So I love that. And then three, Zidane, like you said, has been defending him tooth and nail. He's going to get minutes once the Copa del Rey comes around, more games right now. And Benzema's in such good form. His time will come, but it is frustrating that he hasn't scored that many goals.
Well, we can't ignore it anymore, Matt, it is the elephant in the room. Valencia first, of course, this weekend. That's a big game. They are coming off the back of a very good result against Ajax, of course, progressing to the knockout stages as well. But then the big one on Wednesday, it is El Clasico. I mean, it could not be tighter at the top of La Liga. As things stand, if both teams win at the weekend, that will put both to 37 points in La Liga. I mean, it could not be any closer at the moment.
Yeah, and if you think back to October when this was initially going to be played, I think both teams now, not just one team, but both teams are in a better place. Unfortunately for Real Madrid, we have the huge loss of Eden Hazard. I think that may tip the scales in the favor of Barcelona at the Camp Nou. With Eden in the team we were playing, I mean, everyone saw it against PSG. It was one of the best matches of the season, and Eden was just unstoppable. But without him, I think it's going to be a far more difficult task. But I do think Real Madrid are playing much better. It's a credit to Zidane. They're in much better form. They need to keep the momentum going, obviously, this weekend against Valencia away at the Mestalla. So that's a huge game. You can't take your focus off that. But then, obviously, it could be 6 points if you win against Barcelona away from home.
Yeah, a massive 6-pointer, absolutely. And something that Madrid haven't really been able to do since the 15-16 season. I think it's just the one win in 7 at the Camp Nou. So it's a tough place to go. We know that already. But the record for Madrid in recent years hasn't been the best. And of course, the key thing of all, above everything else, is to avenge that 5-1 defeat last season.
It is. I mean, we have to put to bed these demons. There's something mentally that... It's actually, I think our record's worse at the Bernabeu versus Barcelona. So there's maybe our chances are more in favor at the Camp Nou, but it's just there's some sort of mental breakdown that happens with this team, psychological, that when they play against Barcelona, they play within themselves, and maybe until they go a goal down or until they're 2 goals down, then they start fighting and it's too late. And then there's space behind them and there's too much space for them to try and make up. And so... That's the frustrating thing. They need to come out of the blocks. They need to be playing well right from the start. They need to be tuned in, and they need to play their game. They can't play within themselves. So if there's any coach I feel that can give them that psychological edge, it's Zinedine Zidane. And he has never lost at the Camp Nou, believe it or not. So with Zidane at the helm, I have a bit more faith.
In terms of the way that Zidane is going to line up, Matt, I mean, this is... That's the million-dollar question, really, isn't it? We know about the attack. We know about defence. For me, and this isn't a, you know, it's a pretty obvious argument, I do think this game is going to be won and lost in the middle of the park. We saw Modric getting his second goal of the season, for Madrid at least, in midweek against Club Brugge. We're seeing Casemiro really start coming back into form. We know Fede Valverde is there as well. There is a suggestion, of course, that Valverde might become a bit of a man marker to Lionel Messi. We know the problems that Messi will cause. That's quite obvious. Do you think that's a good thing that Zidane's potentially contemplating exploring that avenue with Valverde?
I don't love it. I think Madrid should play their game. I think they should go for the win. I don't think, obviously, Lionel Messi is just can single-handedly beat any team on his own, and you have to be aware of his presence and aware of the danger he can bring. But I don't think you should man mark him. Zidane's tried that in the past with Kovacic, and fortunately, it didn't work well. I mean, it worked up to a point, but then there was one crucial moment where Kovacic, instead of going after the ball, just man-marked Messi, and Barcelona were through on goal. And so I'd rather they just play their game. Fede Valverde is too crucial to that midfield with his high energy, with his just lung-busting runs and the effort, the tackles, everything he brings now, that dynamism. We need that. And I don't want his game to be curtailed because he's going to have to follow Messi around all game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we mentioned it last week as well. No Eden Hazard for this game. A guy who hasn't featured that much, Isco. We could see him playing a key role in this one.
Yeah, so that's going to be the interesting, who Zidane picks. Will he pick Isco? Will he go with Rodrigo and Bale? Will he go, which of the two out of that three will he go with? Because we assume it'll be, those are the options. And I think he will go with Isco. I think he probably will play a role similar to what he played in the PSG game and kind of have that freedom to roam, play between the lines, hopefully create those triangles within the midfield so that Madrid, when they look to counter against Barcelona's high line, have that outlet through Isco. And then hope he can find Benzema, Rodrigo, Bale, whoever it is, and play them through on goal. So I think that will be the plan, but we'll see. Zidane always seems to always have a trick up his sleeve.
Yeah, indeed he does. And in terms of you, Matt, where are you at on the excitableometer, the reservationometer, the worriedometer? How are you feeling about this game?
Oof. Honestly, before Hazard got injured, I was feeling good. And Barcelona were kind of in a little bit of a slump. And then now the tide has kind of evened out a little bit. And Madrid, I wouldn't say have played poorly without Hazard, but they haven't looked quite as dangerous. So that makes me feel like it's at the Camp Nou. I think, honestly, it kills me to say this, but I think Barcelona have the edge. I hope we can come out with a draw or nick a win. I'm a Madridista. I always feel we should go for the win no matter who we're playing against. We don't care who we're playing against. But I'm not full of confidence ahead of this one.
Oh, Matt, I don't like it, mate. Come on, be positive. We want positivity, just like we started the show.
I'm usually positive, but on this one, I'm being a little bit more realistic, just how I feel coming into the game.
Well, we'll talk this time next week, and let's see. Perhaps it will be a happy Matt. We'll see, of course, Valencia and then Barcelona up on Wednesday. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
That was Matt Wiltsy from Managing Madrid. Of course, it is El Clasico on Wednesday. This is the El Clasico fan show. So, hey, it's probably the best thing that we could possibly talk about. Dan Hilton from the Barcelona podcast is up next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio. Your fan station.
Don't know whether you know, but Lionel Messi scored another hat-trick last week to celebrate winning his sixth Ballon d'Or as Barcelona beat Mallorca 5-2. There was also an outrageous goal in that game, the fifth goal after a quite remarkable passing move. That was brilliant. Frenkie de Jong's pass to find Suarez was brilliant. Suarez's back heel was utterly brilliant. He's since described it, despite all the goals he scored in his career, as the greatest of his career. And I don't know whether you know as well, but at 17 years and 40 days, Ansu Fati became the youngest ever goal scorer in Champions League history when he netted the winner at Inter Milan during the week and, of course, prevented Inter from reaching the knockout stages. Not a bad week for Barcelona. Not a bad week if you're a Barcelona fan, and it could be about to get a whole load better. Real Sociedad first, but then El Clasico, Wednesday, the 18th of December. Barcelona v Real Madrid. Should the results go according to plan prior to that game, both teams will be riding high at the top of the table in La Liga on 37 points. On the line now, we have Dan Hilton of the Barcelona podcast. Dan, it's getting closer.
Yeah, right. I heard you in the intro discussing how it was a pretty tremendous week for Barcelona, and that might be true. But then you look ahead, and if Barca winds up not getting a result in El Clasico, then things can certainly turn in a hurry. But as far as the week that was, certainly the hat-trick from Lionel Messi, and then, well, Luis Suarez, when he was at Liverpool, he might have had some pretty good ones. I remember him tearing up Norwich with one or two good goals, but this was certainly something special, particularly from Luis Suarez, just to put a cap in that a week later, that to have the peace of mind to hit that into the ground, to know that it would bounce up over the keeper. And then every one of Messi's goals, all three of them were sensational finishes as well. Yeah, Mallorca was certainly a treat to help the fan base just smile a little bit. But I think the standard that the club is at right now is after the recent weeks, I go back to Atletico and Dortmund when results are starting to turn and the team is playing quite a bit better. The things behind the scenes persist. The fan base still doesn't really love Valverde. Still doesn't expect him to be the manager by the end of the season. Not that he'll be fired or let go mid-season, as we talk about every week. They won their Champions League group, and they are top of La Liga at the moment. So Ernest Valverde certainly is going to be keeping his job at least until May. But all that said, even Rakitic, while he has come back and Barca are playing better with him in the lineup, long-term, fans obviously wanted him gone in January, but now he'll be more expected to definitely be leaving in the summertime. So a lot of the things behind the scenes that the fan base has been upset with, they're still lying, but they seem to be lying dormant at the moment because results are happening and the team has looked quite better.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ansu Fati as well, Dan. I mean, listen, this guy, he scored two goals in La Liga already, but he is looking good, isn't he? Another goal in the Champions League, in the San Siro in the week. I mean, this is on the grandest stage. And what struck me about his goal, 17 years and 40 days now, the youngest ever goal scoring in Champions League history. And he just shrugged it off, just sort of celebrated like a pretty humble kid. Whereas, I don't know, if I'd scored that goal, I'd be doing laps of the pitch, taking my shirt off, all the knee slides, everything else.
Yeah, his mentality is absolutely unbelievable. And I think when you talk about La Masia and the skill set, the technical ability, and the top-level talent that Barca were able to produce for so long, one of the things that does set La Masia products apart, or did for such a long time, was that they just seem to be mentally tougher, that they're able to take on the bright lights and the pressure, and they rise to those occasions. And Ansu Fati seems to be pegged for greatness because he is the latest in that line of players who are, you know, who are going to be great. But when you look at failed results there, whether it was Boyan being the best example of a player that just had too much pressure on him, Ansu Fati's ability just to shrug it off, I think of all his technical ability, of all his skill, of all his physical tools, his mentality seems to be his best attribute and what has allowed him to become one of Barca's youngest ever debuts, having the youngest goal scorer in Champions League history and all of that. And even the goal, the way the goal was scored, it was very Messi-esque in the way that he just combined with Suarez, the 1-2. Suarez laid it off to him in the same way that he laid it off to Messi on the weekend against Mallorca. And Ansu Fati had the confidence. And if you don't shoot, you're not going to score. And certainly he's been given the green light to do that. And he puts it on frame. And yeah, it's hard to overhype a guy like that because he's been setting all these records. But I think the way the fan base speaks about him and I think the way that he's being recognized for his talent is just about right. He has the ability to be this transcendent talent. Nobody's pegging him for that just yet, but the things he's doing at 17 are simply unbelievable.
They are indeed. And another young player as well, Jean-Claire Todibo. We've spoken about him many times on the podcast. I was really impressed with him in midweek against Inter. But this is another player whose future at Barcelona is still uncertain. Leverkusen apparently in the mix, AC Milan in the mix. I mean, here in England, Southampton, Watford are both apparently reportedly interested. Monaco as well, of course. He is a Frenchman, could potentially go home. What are your thoughts on Todibo?
Well, 100% there has to be a buyback in this. I think it would be complete ignorance from the board and everyone involved, Eric Abidal, who's also a French defender, let's put it that way, that he's such a talent. You see the talent is there. He's not going to be getting game time while Gerard Piquet is finishing out his career at Barcelona. It's not going to happen. He's not going to get the minutes. So I expect Barcelona to insert some kind of buyback in whatever clause this is. Now, if he goes in January, that's quite possible. It seems like Carlos Alenia is the most likely of all the players from Barcelona to be heading out over the break, probably to Real Betis. But when it comes to Tadebo, yeah, it'd be a difficult thing for Barca to really mess this one up in negotiations and not be able to have the ability to bring him back, because certainly he needs first-team football. You see it, and having the ability to play both as a defensive midfielder and as a center back, all his physical tools. And he had a dribble against Inter Milan in that second half that was about 40 yards. He got himself out of trouble against Lautaro Martinez nonetheless, and then he winds up going 45 yards, and that set Barcelona up to take possession. And that's something that Piqué doesn't do anymore. That's something Lenglet doesn't do. And Umtiti, with his knees the way they are, hasn't looked to be that player that he used that he was when he first showed up in his first season. So Tadebo does have something special. While there are a little bit of mistakes you'd expect a really young player to make, yeah, all the tools are there. And if he can be molded properly, even out on loan, or obviously, I said, a buyback is more likely, I expect him to be a tremendous player for Barcelona. And it was a terrific find after he'd only played 10 first-team games for Toulouse.
Hmm. Yeah, mad how that came about, of course. And we look ahead to the weekend. Sociedad tomorrow. And not the best record there, I suppose you could say, but you'd like to think Barca will get the result. Martin Odegaard, of course, might have something to say about that. But then the big one, Dan, we've got to look ahead to El Clasico. I mean, this is a massive game. We've just spoken to Matt Wiltsey of Managing Madrid about the fact that Zidane is looking potentially to put Fede Valverde on a man-marking role on Lionel Messi. I mean, I can't remember the last time someone was able to man-mark Messi out of a game. So if he does try it, I mean, he's not going to be successful, is he?
Well, this isn't the first time that Zidane has tried to do that. It's Casemiro is usually the guy earmarked to do that, but Valverde does have a little bit more mobility, and he has been a really good player. But no, it usually doesn't work out that way. Though I want to push back on the fact I don't want to look past Real Sociedad. It is a road game at Oneida, a place that prior to last season, they hadn't won in, close to 12, 13 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult place to play for Barcelona historically, and I don't want to overlook that match. And while Odegaard came off this week and said that Barcelona also had wanted him, I do want to remind people that all those years ago, there were reports that Barcelona actually had a leg up on Real Madrid, but Odegaard and his father in particular, when they went to see Real Madrid in the capital, they really enjoyed the whole thing, and they were swooned to go that way. But all that said, Real Sociedad, I think, is a really terrific team, and if Barca can't get a result there in a difficult match, then they might be going as a second-place team in El Clasico at home. That's the big part, that it's at the Camp Nou, and all the fireworks involved in there, and all the things that, I'm not going to speak politically, but all the things that are happening there, and then worries that it might be postponed again. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that certainly it serves as an undercurrent to what is always a terrific affair.
Very, very comprehensive. I like that, mate. I like that from you, Dan. Not looking ahead too far. You sound like a professional footballer, mate. Just taking each day as it comes.
Yeah, you got to have a Barcelona mentality. You know, that's what it's got to be.
We heard news as well about Artur this week as well. Still not fit. Doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon.
No, it seems to be an issue with the groin or the pelvis that is popping up from a season ago. There was a bunch of really negative rumors on social media trying to slander his character, and I don't put any credence in that. I'll start with that. But yeah, having this long-term injury and having it continue to be reoccurring is a worrying sign when you do have another player like Umtiti who has those knee injuries that you never wonder if he'll ever be the same player again. Because last week I had put up on YouTube a video about FC Barcelona. I predicted who would be on the team in 2023. And the first two names that you have to say are Frankie de Jong and Artur. They're going to be the foundation of this team 4 years from now. And having Artur having this long reoccurring injury now for his second year in a row dealing with it is a worrying sign indeed.
And lastly, Dan, I've just got to ask you, there were some rumours this week about Pedro returning to his former club, not really getting a look in at Chelsea. Would he be welcomed back to the Nou Camp?
I think he'd be welcome back. I just don't know where a spot for him is. I was speaking to one of our listeners about Danny Olmo of Dynamo Zagreb, who was a La Masia product back in the day. It's the same question, that would Pedro play a role? Sure. But he's certainly not the direction that Barca should go in. He's going to be taking minutes from particularly in Ansu Fati maybe in the next year or two, because Barca need a number nine. They don't need another winger. So Pedro, sure, it'd be goodwill. You'd give him a hug, but he certainly shouldn't expect game time if he were to return. And with Danny Olmo, he should be a superstar somewhere in the next 3-4 years, and he's going to be expected to be a starter week in and week out. And I just think the timeline for him isn't going to match up with the creative role that he plays, and Messi's still in the team for the next 2 or 3 seasons. Again, I just don't think that timeline is going to work out.
Dan, it has been nothing but a pleasure, mate. I'm not going to press you on a prediction for El Clasico because you don't want to look ahead, but a prediction for Real Sociedad, a quick score prediction from you.
Well, I don't know. It really could be anything. I'm going to go 3-2 Barcelona just because I actually think this one's going to be a little more wide open of a game, a little more of a shootout. And Real Sociedad has been playing well, so I expect them to put up goals. But I think Barcelona are in proper form right now, and I think it would be silly to count against them at the moment, 3-2, especially since Messi was rested midweek.
Lovely stuff. Dan, thank you very much for joining us. That was Dan Hilton of the Barcelona podcast. Quite understandably, not wanting to look too far ahead in the La Liga calendar. It's only a few days, but El Clasico does come after Barcelona travel to Real Sociedad tomorrow. We'll give you all the reaction to that. To be fair, it's going to be all the reaction to the El Clasico. And this time next week, 10:30 on Love Sport Radio, El Clasico fan show. We'll see you then.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.